Now, I've been preaching on 2020, which is the year we're in, 2020. And the word 20, remember I told you, means expectancy. Say expectancy. I've had a tremendous expectancy in my life every single day because I know God is doing supernatural things in me, and I know He wants to do supernatural things in you. Say expectancy. Another thing I gave you about the word expectancy was that we need to begin to put priorities. Say priorities. Prioritize our life. Let me give you a couple of things I said about priority. One of the things was that priority protects our decisions. How many of you and I are where we are because of decisions we have made? Sometimes other people will make decisions, will affect us, but we have control of the wheel. We're the ones who are making decisions in life. Amen? I had one young lady, she was widowed, and I said, gee, how are things going? She said, good, I'm looking for a billionaire to make him a millionaire. Well, that's a great decision if you can find one, but first make sure you're in love with them. And they're a believer, amen? I think I've ruined more weddings because people say, I like that person. Well, first of all, they are a believer. No, well, have a nice day. So the Bible says light and darkness don't what? Belong together. So that's a wrong decision if you decide to be with somebody who's not what? A believer, because the word is the word of God say. Light and darkness don't belong together. And I hear the foolishness of, well, after we get married, then I'll change them. No, you won't. How many of you know it doesn't work that way? Just doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. The Word of God protects our decisions. Say, the Word of God protects our decisions. Another thing is, it protects our lives. Say, protects our lives. Not only in the natural, but in the spirit realm. Say, He protects our lives. Another thing He does, He protects our time. So you can use money and get more, but once you use your time, you can't get it back again. I mean, you know that one's true. Have you ever wasted time doing something? Yes, absolutely. Well, how many of you are in agreement with that? All right, absolutely. So I want you to hear some things from the Word of God. And if you don't mind, turn over. We're not going there, but keep your finger there. Judges 16. We're going to wind up over there probably, Judges 16, but we're not going to start out that way. Fair enough? I'm going to give you a lot of quotes from a lot of famous preachers that love God and had fantastic ministries of healing and miracles and just revivalists, if you don't mind. So just lean back for a minute and listen to some of these statements, but keep your finger there. Fair enough? Duncan Campbell. Today we have Christianity made easy as an accommodation to an age that is unwilling to face the implications of Calvary and the gospel of simple believism. What does that mean? Just believe it. If the Bible says what it says, just believe it. Heard an atheist say the other day, well, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I looked at him and said, well, where did the bang come from? Everything has got to have an existence. Big Bang, well, that's really nice. Some people think that a man was a little something or other floating around in water, and as it started moving around, it got a briefcase and grew up to be a man and went to work. No, that's not the way it happened. God has laid this thing out for us very plain and simple. But people today don't want to talk about the Bible because they think their ideas are a little bit better. I don't think so. But people don't read the Word and they talk foolishly. I know in John 14, 15, 16, that Jesus spent those three chapters in John talking about who's going to take His place. Who was it? It was the Holy Ghost. Amen. So if I hear that, I want to jump in and find out as much as I can about the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to find out everything He's supposed to be doing for me, and I want to be a part of the plan. Fair enough? Listen to this. John Piper, he's a great author. Listen to what he says. Do you have a hunger for God? I many times I've wanted to do this, and the Holy Spirit says, you can't. He stops me. I want to lay hands on people so they'll have a hunger for God. I can't give it to you. See, it's a fire that burns on the inside of you. Have you ever been around a campfire? How many of you have? And what do you do when you see it start to go out? Stoke it and put more. How many of you know hardwood burns longer than softwood? That pine has a nice smell to it, but as soon as you put it on, it goes woof, and you're done. But you put that hardwood on there, and it takes hours and hours and hours. Am I right? The Tabano family has a tradition of starting campfires. All of us have different ways of starting campfires and building campfires. If it's going out, give me some citronella, and I douse it, and the thing explodes. Paulie says, put that away. He has a way of doing it that takes 3 days, and by then we're frozen. Understand? Then my wife has a way of piling things up so it works out perfect. And then here comes Paulie again. He moves the whole thing. What are you doing? Well, I had to, no. Just leave it alone. Every one of us has a different way. Amen? But I do forgive Paulie because he comes out with his little popcorn popper and pops popcorn. And then I smile and say, this is good, man. This is good. Amen? Then we have to get more wood. You know what I do, coach? I start to get up real slow. Oh, I'll get it for you. Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I can't give you a hunger for God. I have a hunger for God. I'm not boasting on me. I have a hunger for God because I ask God for a hunger. Not just for the word, but for souls. This is funny, too. I had to put a new router on my computer, which I don't use. I don't pay my bills online. I just don't. What I do is I go to the place I pay them at, and I walk in and talk to people. And I have conversation with everybody in the place. One lady says, we look forward for you to come in. Now, guess what? I'm taking that card with me in about a week to go pay one of my bills. They'll say, got a new joke for us, Reb? I said, oh, I got a good one for you today. But I go in, and they talk to me. One time, one of the ladies, her husband, just suddenly died of a heart attack, and she said, can I talk to you, Pastor? And I was able to encourage her in a transition period in her life, but I couldn't have done that if I just did it online. See, I'm not saying don't do that. What I'm saying is where I am is I want to talk to people. I text because I have to, but I'd rather sit down eyeball to eyeball and talk to somebody and hear their voice and their inflection rather than just be typing something out on a phone. That's just me now. Say, that's you, Pastor. I'm not saying those things are wrong. What I'm saying is I want to see flesh and blood. I can't do that by just texting something. See, as a preacher, I'm looking to make contact with people. See, that's what God did in the garden. He didn't text Adam and Eve, say, I'll be late. He just showed up. Nobody likes this kind of stuff, do they? How come? I don't know. It's like taking a third offering up. People just don't like this when you touch the Holy Grail. People spend hours and hours on the internet and on social media. There's nothing wrong with them. They're wonderful. But when we become consumed with that and not consumed with the Word of God for our spiritual well-being, we're headed down a wrong road. I'm being honest with you. I'm your spiritual dad. If I don't tell you that, nobody else is going to say it to you. Fair enough? We need to keep an eye on our kids. We need to keep our computer in a room where everybody goes to. Don't stick it in their bedroom. If they've got a phone, that's wonderful. But make sure you can do certain things to lock certain things out. Our kids are just out there, and we've got to protect them. Say, we've got to protect them. Well, glory to God. Now I can go a little bit farther. Fair enough? If we don't feel strong desire for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because we have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with small things, and there's no room for great things. Wow. Remember the story about the froggy in the water? And what happened to the frog? The water got hot, and it cooked. How did that happen? Because as the temperature went up, the frog would move around to make himself more comfortable. And another degree, he'd make himself a little bit more comfortable. See, what's happened is the world has come and made us comfortable, and we just move around to fit on in that, and then suddenly there's no strength to jump out of it because it's too late. See, I'm sharing my heart with you this morning. I'm seeing things through the eyes of the Spirit, not just through the eyes of a man. I'm telling you, in the realm of the Spirit, there needs to be changes in the church. See, I believe when we have an altar call, we have the preaching of the word, the worship, the praise, the prayer time, all of that is an entrance for the Holy Spirit to come in. When the Holy Spirit comes in, say when he comes in, he always leaves a deposit. Now, if you have a deposit in the natural and money, what can you do with that deposit? Make withdrawals. So we give you enough on a Sunday morning to walk out of here with deposit after deposit. But during the course of the week, you can even take and deplete all of your deposits unless you're putting more in there. I get a paycheck on a Tuesday. I know what's got to be paid and not paid. I don't go beyond what I know I have coming in. Amen? I'm old-fashioned. You don't mind me. But I actually write my checks out well in advance and put on the letter, I put the date they have to go out, not the day they're due. So I got them all lined up, and nope, there they go. They're already taken care of. That's the way I organize my financial life and my wife. You understand that? I have order in the natural, and I also have order in the spirit. I can't use this too much as an example, but you can't see it. See all these little tabs here? I counted yesterday, I have over 25 devotional books by some of the great authors of our time and before. And it looked like, the other day the Holy Spirit said, it looks like my books can fly away. These things look like wings. Because my heart is so fertile for the Word of God, listen, that every time I see something, I put a marker. And it seems to be almost every page there's a marker. I said, well, that'll preach. Well, that'll preach. And before you know it, every book on the shelf is just kind of like fluttering over the top, looking for a place to take off. I want to see you and I with such a hunger for the Word of God that we don't need an evangelist coming in to spark us. We can get the stoker ourselves and stoke the Word of God on the inside of us so a fire burns. Say, a fire needs fuel. Say, a fire needs fuel. Here's the fuel. Amen. Now, if we've got that fire going, we never want it to go out. When I was a kid again growing up, the old furnaces used to have coal in them, and they'd bank the coal. In other words, they put ashes on the coal when they went to bed at night, and then in the morning, they'd get rid of the ashes, and the coal would be hot enough to receive new fuel. You understand that? So as we sleep, we bank the fire and the Spirit of God on the inside of us, but then in the morning time when we wake up, Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Yeah, Benny Hinn had a book years ago, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. You can get a copy of that. It's a fabulous book. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Amen. My wife's not jealous when I say that because I say, good morning, honey. How are you, too? Oh, maybe I put her first sometimes then. Here's another one. Leonard Revival. Are you ready now? The world has lost the power. This was powerful. Leonard Ravenhill, powerful evangelist of his day. The world has lost the power to blush over its vice. But the church has lost her power to weep over it. Because many times the church looks like the world does. It shouldn't be that way. The church should be a haven for people who need rest, who need help, who need strength. Amen? Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said again. There's exceedingly much difference between what ought to be and what in fact is. Luke 14:33 says this. Leave everything and follow me. Jesus said that to the what? The fishermen, his first disciples. Today, we don't have that kind of a call in the lives of people. It doesn't say, follow me. Leave your fishermen's nets and leave everything behind you and simply follow me. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:12. All who live godly lives in Christ will suffer persecution. You know what? I've experienced persecution because of the call of God on my life and because what God's asked me to do. You understand that? Hallelujah. I'm not going to, how can I say this in a nice way? I'm not going to let opinions of people direct my life. I'm going to have God's opinion of me through the blood of Jesus Christ steer my life. Amen? How many of you sometime along your life got tired of making bad decisions? I sure did. And then what did I do? Started getting myself solidified, stuck myself in the Word of God more than ever before, and let the book, the Word of God, which is alive and well, sharper than any two-edged sword, take control of my life. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's another quote if you don't mind. Amen. A.W. Tozer, if you ever heard him before. If the Holy Ghost was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. I'm an inner city guy. I like inner city work. I've said this before, but who cares? I'd love to go and start an inner city work in each of the cities around us. But God has not directed me to do that. My flesh would direct me to do that. What he's told me to do and what this church is to do is to give monies to those organizations that are truly doing the job and doing it right and help them reach the lost in the inner city. Amen. See, my way would have been, oh, your pastor's got to... I don't care about all that stuff. What I care about is souls are dying and going to hell by the thousands and somebody's got to reach them with the good news of the gospel. Yeah. Souls, say souls. Souls. I can't give you and you can't give me a fire in my bosom for souls. I'm on soul watch every day. Not soul train. Soul watch. I'm after souls. Wherever I go, I look for opportunities to touch somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nobody gets by me without me saying something to them. Sometimes they ignore me. And then there are other times when they ignore me. Saw a guy with a cowboy hat on the other day. Hey, man, where are you from? Texas? Nah. Oh, my brother's from Texas. Yeah. And I'm saying to myself, I ain't getting anywhere with this dude. But then I held the door open for him. Thanks. This messes the guy up. Yeah, that's what Yankee fans do. I'm an Astro fan. Okay, I don't think I'm going in the store. I think I'm going to go. My job every single day is to look for people and minister the good news of the gospel. A simple way is open the door for somebody. You know what they'll do? Thank you. Now you've got a door open. They said, thank you. Hey, you're welcome, man. Isn't it a beautiful day? I got a conversation going over here. I want a fire burning on the inside of me. Say a fire burning on the inside of me that can change the lives of people. When I stand before God someday, and you will also, he's not going to want to know anything about our life here on earth except what have we done for the kingdom of God. Only things that are done for Christ are going to last. Everything else is wood, hay, and stubble. It will be blown away. Say hallelujah. I think I got that. I think I got that. Amen. Listen to it, if you don't mind. Go over to John's gospel real quick. 14th chapter. 14th chapter of John. And verse, if you don't mind, number 15. If you really love me, you'll keep and obey my commandments. How many of you love the Lord? I certainly do. Then what will we strive to do with the help of the Holy Spirit? Keep his commandments. Listen to verse 21. The person who has my commandments, how many of you are a person? This applies to you then, the person. The person who has my commandments. So look at me. These are his commandments. But then the Amplified uses another word, and keeps them. Oh. You can have a wedding ring on, and you made vows, but do you keep them? It's a big difference between the two, is there not? Uh-huh. Listen to it now. In the one who really loves me. So having the Bible is not enough, but putting the Bible where? In our hearts. Remember Mark 4? The word is the seed. Jesus is the word, so he's the seed. If we keep it in our hearts, amen, say in our hearts, say good ground, who really loves me, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show and reveal and manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. How many of us sometimes have a problem lining up with the word? That's good. You're all honest. Then we need help. What does help mean? Help. Have you ever seen those big boxes? If you buy a big TV or a big item and you'll see two people lifting something up? Am I right? But then there's always somebody who tries to do it by themselves. See, that's the believer. We try to do things by ourselves, not following the directions of the Holy Spirit when he says, I can help you. And if you're going up the stairs, he even knows which way is easier for you. How many of you know going up the stairs, where's the best place to be if you're carrying a big box? Bottom or top? On the bottom. He's on the top, bent over, because he doesn't have back problems. Listen to this, if you don't mind. William Booth, you know the name William Booth. We must wake ourselves up or somebody else will take our place and bear our cross and thereby rob us of our crown. My God, have mercy. My God, say, God, have mercy. Listen to this quote, if you don't mind. A.B. Simpson, powerful man of God. The chief danger of the church today is that it is trying to get on the same side as the world. instead of turning the world upside down. See, what the church did, early church, was they turned the world upside down. Can I tell you what I want to hear? They wanted the early church to be quiet and not mention the name of Jesus. So that's where I like to be. In fact, if I remember right, when they had him on trial, they took note that these unlearned men, uneducated men, had been with Jesus. That's what it says. What a great place to be is for people to indict us on our stand on what the Word of God says, and they take note. These unlearned men have been with Jesus. See, the world takes notice. The world, when people aren't looking like Nicodemus, when he came at night to see Jesus, he heard him all day, saw the miracles, heard the preaching of the word, but then he came to him at night because in his heart something was going on. There was a fire burning in his heart. And what did Jesus say? Hey, you're going to be born again tonight, man. Remember the two guys on the road to Emmaus? Jesus walks up to them and they're talking back and forth about the events of the death of Jesus and his resurrection. He's been here and there. And he listened to their conversation. And then he began to listen. It says it. He began to open up the scriptures and told them all that the scriptures said about Jesus coming and what would take place. And when he was done, it was an eye opener. The Bible says, and their eyes were opened. You and I are to open the eyes of those that don't know Jesus. And then it goes like this. Now, I'm giving my own paraphrase. Did not our hearts burn within us when he opened up the scriptures? Listen to me. Fire is made to consume. When you and I open up this word over here, begin to read it, begin to apply it on a daily basis, there's a fire on the inside of us that's going to begin to burn. How many of you have seen sometimes out of the volunteer fire department, there's a sign, is there a fire in you? And every time I go by, I say, yes, there is. There's always a fire in me. I want to catch things on fire. I want to see somebody with a face where I can look into their eyes and see they're in a terrible state of confusion and have the power of God come on them in Jesus' name. And something supernatural like the fire of God burns in them and changes their life. Remember, I was getting my hair cut a few years ago and my hairdresser said, can you come in the basement for a minute? I said, uh-oh, what's going on? I want you to pray for the guy who's working in the basement. He's on messed up on drugs. I said, sure. So I went down and introduced myself to him. As soon as I shook his hand, he flew up against the wall. He said, what's that? I said, I don't know. What's that? I'm looking around, seeing nothing here. I said, can I pray for you? He said, I don't know. I said, why not? He says, I've never been around a man of God who, wow, it's not me, it's Jesus in me. Do you want to know him? Yeah. Can I lay hands on you? No. I don't know what happened to that guy. See, listen to me. You have an anointing on the inside of you. You're already a minister of the gospel. That's what the Bible says. See, some people walk around and they're looking for a microphone so they can be heard. I don't need a microphone to be heard. I can reach out and touch somebody's hand, open a door, say kind words to them, and I've reached out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Their hearts burned on the inside of them. I want to be able to have the fire of God on the inside of me so hot that it burns through the dross, it burns away all the junk, it burns away everything in someone's life so that revival can hit that house and hit that life in Jesus' name. Listen to the rest of this. Our master expects to accomplish results, even if they bring opposition and conflict. Anything is better than compromise. Anything, say anything, is better than compromise. I don't believe in compromise. I don't believe in compromise. Compromise is not getting to the truth of the matter. Compromise is where people will come together and say, well, we'll do it. No, I'm not giving in. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Pastor, you're so set on that because I'm set on what the Word of God says. That's why what the Word of God says is there's no other way to get to God than through Jesus Christ. That settles it. I'm not interested in somebody else telling me this or somebody else telling me this, and this may work, it may work, may not work. I got a sure thing in the fact that Jesus came, died on the cross of Calvary, rose from the dead, and no one else has ever done that before. Come on, you can shout better than that. Say no compromise. God gave to us an intense cry for the old-time power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I grew up in the old time. I grew up when people would spend to the wee hours of the morning in church. I grew up when people were healed. Legs grew out. Eyes opened up. I remember the old tent meetings when they used to put it up on a vacant piece of land and put sawdust on the ground so there wasn't a whole bunch of dirt. And they used to call us holy rollers. Because when the Holy Ghost would hit them, they'd literally roll all over the ground. See, that's my old-time Pentecost. Oral Roberts laid hands on me when I was just a young guy, before there were interstates. My mom and dad took me there in an old 19-something or other Buick. Thing was like a boat. God have mercy. And I walked up, and he was laying hands on people. And when he laid hands on me, something happened to me. I said, something happened to me. I was having problems breathing, but the power of God came on me and changed my life. Hallelujah. Lester Summerall laid hands on my wife and myself. Are you understanding? He laid hands on us and ordained us into ministry. Some of these same people I'm talking about, Smith Wigglesworth was another one who raised the dead. So the anointing that was on him went on him, went on him, and went on Rod Parsley. Rod Parsley came here and dedicated this church and laid hands on it. Man, I'm full of something. You're full of something. You don't need a microphone or a pulpit. All you need is an open door. When you open it up in the morning, don't say it's a beautiful day because the weather is. You say it's a beautiful day because here's another opportunity for God to use me supernaturally. Come on, somebody, shout at me. During the Welsh Revival, people were getting saved. The coal miners getting saved. The power of God was so strong, they wouldn't go home from work. They'd go to the bar, because if they went home, they knew their wife was praying for them. And they didn't want nothing to do with her. Listen, these are true stories. Now, you can look them up yourself. They went to the bar, got themselves a drink, not just one, it happened to so many. And before they could put the drink into their mouth, a hand that couldn't be seen stopped their hand from going to their mouth. They put the glass down in the bar and ran home to their wife and got saved. That's revival. Say, that's revival. And then they would start every day out in the coal mines with prayer. Brother Ted shared this, and to give it back to you real quick, the mules and donkeys, whatever it was that they used, were so used to them cursing and swearing that when they got saved and they didn't swear and curse anymore, they had to retrain the donkeys because they didn't understand what they were saying. Can I read a couple of short stories and we're all done? Because I want to keep this fire burning on the inside of you. This will affect everybody here. There's a story about a man in the States who had witnessed to an unsaved friend and prayed for him for years. One day that friend came over to borrow a tool, but no one was home. So he went to the tool shed to find what he was looking for. And suddenly, oh, I like when suddenlies come, man. Say suddenly.
Suddenly.
The next statement, I'll give you a definition my wife has used so many times. My God. Suddenly the presence of God overtook him. My wife said this, and boy, it's powerful. I don't always know when it is, but I sure know when it ain't. When you experience the presence of God, there's no substitute. He was convicted of his sins and broke down, putting his faith in Jesus at that very moment. Now, this next little thing is a little nugget for you and I. Hang on now. When he was told, his Christian friend, what had happened to him, say, hang on. He discovered a simple explanation. That faithful believer had prayed with tears for his salvation for a period of years, making intercession for his soul in that very tool shed. You walk into a place and somebody's not there, you pray anyway. Because you're beginning to fill that place with the presence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. You can fill your places of employment with the power and presence of God that will overtake that workplace and change it one soul at a time. When you walk into that place, you begin to speak in tongues and you begin to prepare that day and that service at my God. Your bosses are going to say, boy, business is up and it's not even the holidays. Oh, that's because the Holy Ghost is in here. You are not just people that work for an employer. You're employed by the Holy Ghost. That's your employer. Glory to God. Say hallelujah. You're going to walk into your places of business with a brand new high step. You're going to walk in and you're, glory to God, I got a 12-hour shift today, but boy, are we going to have fun. It's going to change because every time you bring something to somebody and you've touched that item, the power of God has gone into that and they're going to, my God, their lives are going to be changed. Say changed.
Change.
Say changed.
Change.
Honey, you got something cooking there? Changed, because I'm almost done. You don't have anything cooking. Coach, is that you? You got something cooking. Here you go. This is how this place works. We're bringing the bullpen in for a second before we close. Tony's going to be the almost closer today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, watch out, everybody. Watch out now. Watch out now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Ro si handa ba si he. Ro ro si kada ba ye si handa da ba ye nde de. Let me tell you something, church. Ho si kada ba ye handa da. Well, my beautiful sister this morning that prayed, Iris.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. Yep. If you ain't in tune, you better get ready to get in tune because the Holy Spirit is about to blow in this place. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you step, everywhere you go, you're going to start witnessing and seeing the mighty move of the Holy Spirit. God is fed up with this foolishness of this world and the way the world is trying to put everything on us. Let me tell you something. We are an example. We are an example of Jesus Christ himself. The same Spirit. Get this. This how precious you are to God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that got you out of your sin, sick, and self-disease before you became a Christian, that same Spirit is on the inside of you and I. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, everywhere you go, everywhere you step, every person that sees you ought to see Jesus first. Mm-hmm. They ought to see the blood flowing all over you, soaked and drenched like a towel that you just got out of the shower with, that's soaking wet, and you just oozing Jesus. Display. Display. What does a display do? It draws you in when you see it.
Yep. Yep.
You walking down the mall and you see something in the window, ooh, I like that. It draws you in.
Mm.
We are to be an example, a display to unbelievers everywhere we go, to draw them in. To draw them in and pull them in and get them hooked in, just like an anchor when it gets hooked in and holds a ship. We ought to be anchors of hooking people in everywhere we go. We ought to be dragging people with us. We ought to just be dragging people with us that don't know Jesus. Just dragging them along until they just get off and get unhooked, and then they just drag some other souls on, and then they get hooked on, and then they move on and drag some other people. Woo! Yep. That's what we need to be.
Yep.
Everybody want to push the world on us, but what about us pushing Jesus on the world?
Yeah.
We got to push Jesus on the world just like the world trying to push itself on us. Yeah. We got to start pushing back. Yeah. Woo. Playtime is over, church. Playtime is over. There's no more just want to, you know, sit back and get by. You want to walk around things? No, I want to be, I like Pastor said, I want to be face to face. I want to get up in your grill like when I played football. Let's do this. Let's do this. It's me and you right now, but I got somebody backing me that you don't know about. Face to face. Yeah, you pushed me, devil. You pushed me, world. You pushed me back in the corner, but I came out of it. So what? So what? You get punched in the throat sometimes. Punch back with the Spirit of God inside of you. Like I said, I go to play. I'm around people. Everybody want to push the world. They want to do their little thing around me, say little slick stuff. Okay, I'm going to slay slick stuff back to you. But mine's going to be a little bit more edifying. It's going to draw you in. It's going to make you think. But what you say to me going to roll off my back like water on a duck. But what I'm going to say to you going to stick in your spirit and in your heart, and you're going to change. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I've been on my back. I've been on my back, and I seen what the enemy's trying to do to the church. Mm-hmm. I seen it.
Yep.
Sickness and disease, heartbreak, all that is coming.
Yep.
I seen it.
Yep.
When I'm sitting there, when I'm laying in my hospital bed by myself, everybody's gone, and it's just me and God. Woo, what a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. He turned it around for good. So wherever you at, you hold on. You hold on. Don't let no world trying to push whatever they want on you. Don't do it. You hold on.
Yep.
God's hand is unchanged. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on. Hold on. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Woo. Coach is going to give, Tony, going to give an altar call for the audience watching around the globe and you. But while he was speaking, the Lord said this to me. This election season is going to drive people to the houses of God that are preaching the truth, because they will get worn out listening to things that are not the truth.
Yep.
Doesn't matter which party, who, that's all junk. I'm telling you, and the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and the truth is Jesus.
Amen.
So I'm telling you, the reason this church takes a stand on the Word of God and preaches and teaches, it is not afraid to mention the word Holy Ghost or Jesus or miracles or healing. It's because people are going to start looking for a place to bring their husbands and their wives and their children where the Bible is being taught and the truth of God's word is being taught.
Amen.
Say hallelujah, glory to God. So watch out now. Watch out now. I didn't build this church 20-some years ago with the seat over 1,000 people for a joke. The Lord told me he was going to fill it. Amen. I'm telling you, it's on its way. It's on its way. And this election year is not about electing any one person. It's about bringing the election of Jesus Christ into the house of God and in getting people back to salvation. Amen. Give an altar call there and there. Go ahead.
Oh, sir.
Yeah.
Before you do that, could you ask Iris to come up? Exactly what you were saying in prayer this morning.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Coming out of the bullpen.
Praise God. A couple of weeks ago, we were in prayer at the altar. Pastor Carolyn always makes us make a circle. And that day, I had given a testimony of what God did in my life. I had waited for many, many years for something to be restored to me, and actually 10 years. But I gave it to God because at the beginning, it had caused some issues, and I had peace about it, so I let it go. Well, that day, the Lord had me give that testimony, but as we were praying in the circle, I closed my eyes, and the Holy Spirit just started to speak to my heart and tell me that the circle that we're in is as the circle that prayed in the upper room, and how they prayed and they sought God for I don't know how many days, but still, they waited, and they waited upon the Holy Spirit to come. And we hold hands and we pray and we search and we seek the Holy Spirit. And I know that the Lord spoke to my heart that morning and told me that we were as the upper room believers. And the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out upon this church in a mighty way. We're going to see the glory of God in many different aspects of our lives. So you know what? I don't care how long it takes. Stand firm. Stand firm, because the word of God never changes, and he never changes. And no matter how long it takes, God is working. He's working. We may not see it, but we wait. Amen. We wait. And I know that the Lord is going to pour out his spirit. He's doing it in my life. And I've been waiting many, many years for a lot of things in my life. And you know what? I cling to him because he's all I have.
Yeah.
He's all I have. Yeah. He's always been what I had. And I've never had to look to anyone else but him. Amen. And he's faithful in all that he says he's going to do. He will do it.
Amen.
So I know that this church is a church of healing. It's sort of like an emergency room, because when I came here, I was ill. I was ill emotionally. I was shut down, but God restored me through the word of God that the pastor preaches from that pulpit. Mark 4 got into my spirit, and I started to let go of my past, and the Lord healed me. So I know that the Holy Spirit is here, and this is an emergency room, and those that are going to come here are going to be broken, but they're going to be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Luke 4:18,
So I just praise the Lord this morning.
Iris was at the World Trade Center when it came down.
And when that happened, I was in both bombings. And I know that God was with me because he took me out of there.
Amen.
And he brought me up here. Hallelujah. And you know, Pastor, I used to sing that song from Helen Baylor all the time, Sold Out for Jesus.
Amen.
I used to go across the street to Trinity Church and put the CD on and pray it and sing it.
Hallelujah.
And I used to say, Lord, I'm sold out for you. No matter what, I'm sold out for you. And look at this.
Amen.
Sold out for Jesus.
After Tony gives the altar call, these altars are open. And your prayer and my prayer should be, set the fire burning on the inside of me. Never let it go out. Go ahead, Tony.
To the people that are watching and listening and the people here in this congregation, I'm not trying to butter you up, but I'm going to just tell you about me. At 36 years old, I made the best decision of my life.
Yes.
It was when I surrendered myself to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was 36. I did everything that I wanted to do on my own. Was sick to my stomach from doing them. And I came to a place. This is from somebody, even watching the team, but it's somebody in here. I don't know. You get to a place in your life like I did where I can't do this by myself.
Yeah.
I'm unhappy. I put up a front when I'm in front of people and my friends and my family. I may look like I got everything going on in front of people, but behind closed doors, I'm miserable. Mm. I'm miserable.
Yeah.
I'm completely just worn out trying to put up this front.
Yeah.
I'm literally just tired of trying to please people by smiling when I want to cry. Want to put on a smile in front of people when I'm in front of them, instead of cry, I just want to yell. I just want to quit. But let me tell you something. There's a man named Jesus who died for you and I when he didn't have to, shed his blood, rose on the third day, and it didn't stop there, ascended into heaven and still sitting at the right hand of the Father, still pushing and praying and interceding for you and I.
Yeah.
And that will never, never, never stop.
Yeah.
So when you get to a place where you done come to yourself and you're tired and you're sick and you're worn out and you're just like, oh God, there's nothing else that's working off of me. I've done it all. I've tried it all. Nothing has satisfied me. But at 36 years old,
yeah.
I'm 53 now. Mm. At 36 years old, I truly surrendered my life to Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And let me tell you something. It had never been the same.
Yeah.
It's the best life I had. Even though I done did, I done traveled all around the world playing football and all that, done did all that, done been places, done been around famous people and all that, but this don't compare to me knowing Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The door that I opened when he filled my heart, best decision. I love my wife. I love my family. I love Pastor Carol, Pastor Paul, and family. I love all you guys. I wouldn't have never became your brother in Christ if I wouldn't accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people that I come here, I get in contact with and begin to know, you become family.
Yes. There it is.
We are one big family, a one big melting pot family, gumbo soup, shrimp, lobster, pot in heaven. That's what we are. We are family.
Yes, we are.
For eternity.
Yes.
What? It's people that are walking around here that I have nobody, I have no family, I don't have friends. Let me tell you something. You have family and you have friends and you have a Savior that loves you more than anything.
Mm.
And he'll come to him. You can come to him. I was filthy, alcoholic, drinking, party, clubbing, cursing. I was a mess. But if you looked at me, wait a minute, you play professional football, you coach professional football, and I was a mess. But I was his mess. And he made me into a message.
Yes. That man prayed in the tool shed. Your grandma prayed for you in her room. Every time you came to visit her, the prayers were always there. When you walked into the house, you know something was different. Yeah. If you're watching by television, listening by radio, internet, any way you get this, shortwave radio, and you'd like to ask Christ into your life, everyone's going to stand up. We're going to say a simple prayer. Join me, Harvest Church, would you? In Jesus' name, I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me at Calvary. You died in my place, forgave me of my sins so that I could be free. Have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means I'm going to heaven. So we welcome you into the family of God if you've said that prayer. And first thing I always say is find yourself a good Bible-believing church where whoever fills the pulpit is preaching the Bible, preaching the Word of God. Encouraging you, and by doing so also you encourage the pastor. Find out what his vision is that God dropped in his heart and help him fulfill that vision. Amen.